All right, let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for a place to meet, freedom to be here. Father, for your word, the truth, we ask you to remind us through it all today what's important. Lord, we just ask you to continue to bless those kids that went and were exposed to the gospel, that it would be a seed planted, that you would bring it to salvation in their life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't been with us, we've been going through the book of Revelation, and I'm just going to hit the high spots, but we'll be here for 8 or 10 years. So I'm not going to do I remember W.A. Criswell, he preached through the book of Romans. It took him 12 years when he was a pastor at First Baptist. We're not going to do that. So all the notes that Danny's going to put up for us, there'll be a lot of notes. Just read over those, study them. You're probably not going to agree with me on some of this. That's okay. I'm still trying to figure some of it out myself, but we'll just look at it. But here's the most important thing. You need to be right with Jesus now. A lot of people think, oh, the book of Revelation is just like those last days on the earth. Oh, no, no. We're in the tribulation now. We're just not in the great tribulation yet. And here's the deal. If you're not committed to Jesus and serving him now, as peaceful and easy as it is, you will not do it then. And if you don't do it then, judgment is coming. And that's actually what this is talking about. You know, the whole book. Because God's going to bring this to the fruition at the end. Judgment, and the ones who don't trust him will be judged. And this is just a little glimpse of it. And another thing you need to remember, things we'll look at here today, we'll pick back up again in chapters later. So don't draw a lot of conclusions yet. You know, we're talking about the 144,000. We're talking about the white robes. What does that mean exactly? They'll pop back up. And it's not going to be the same thing, so be careful not to draw a lot of conclusions yet. As we go through this thing, it might unfold, and you'll see, well, maybe I was wrong in that position. So that's what it is. And remember this, if not chapter 6 is done, and then all that's finished, and then chapter 7, it is all intermingled at the same time, okay? It's basically like, you know, what is the first sentence in a paragraph for? Hello? To tell you what the paragraph's about. Ain't it right? The first sentence tells you what, if you know how to write, that is. And then you use the rest of the paragraph to explain that. That's exactly what you have here. In chapter 6, he lays this all out, and then you'll see some of it start to unfold what he laid out in chapter 6 and 7 and following. So it doesn't mean, oh, this happens and that's done. It's all intermingled together. You have to keep that in mind. It's hard enough to understand when you see it that way. And some of this is just not clear as day, right? That's the way it goes, unfortunately. But we'll try to see what we can and understand what we can. So we come to seal 5. We did 1, 2, 3, 4 week before last. We're in seal 5, which is chapter 6, verse 9. And this one is taking place not on earth but in heaven. The other four were unfolding in the events that take place on the earth. And this one is in heaven. And it says in verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They were killed. Because they lived for Jesus, they were martyred. They were killed. So they're in heaven. That's the situation. They don't have glorified bodies yet, but they're aware of what is going on. Excuse me. And they call out in a loud voice, saying, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little bit longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed, as they had been, was completed. What? Yeah, he said, his answer was, oh, everything's going to get better. He said, no, there are more of you going to be killed before this thing's over. He said, you just got to wait. Enjoy your blessedness that you're out of it, that your soul is saved. You don't have a glorified body yet. And some try to say, and that's what it is, about the white robes. The white robes will show up again later. So if you go place the people in white robes in this position now, when you get over it later, you say, well, wait a minute, that's not going to fit. So you need to wait. Keep it in mind. A lot of these things interact back and forth. We're talking about the martyred in heaven. That's who these people were. They were killed. Absolutely, John is writing to people who have already seen their loved ones killed. You'll see it coming later. So at the time, you know, we talk about, everybody thinks the revelation and the tribulation is all future. No, it's not. It started when Jesus started his ministry. John already said in 1st, 2nd John. What did he say? He said, we already have Antichrist among us. Oh, the full Antichrist is coming. How many times all these things are happening? We are living in the tribulation time, and it will not be finished until Jesus does come back. It's going to intensify in the last days, absolutely. I just hope we're right, that I'm right, and we miss that. Meaning, if I'm not already dead and gone, if Jesus comes back while I'm alive, I hope I'm right. My position right now is the church doesn't go through the tribulation. But right now, churches in America, and not really not in America, but across the world, are going through tribulation. We just don't understand. Pastors are killed every day on this earth because of this. So please understand, don't just say, well, that's just talking about the end times. No, 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 we're in it. Don't be fooled. And this is the issue that I mentioned earlier. If you can't live for Jesus now, why in the world you think you're going to live for him when your life's dependent on it? That's the whole issue about the whole book. You just need to be ready. Why? Because judgment is coming. That's what he tells them. You know, and they say, well, you know, why? When are you going to do something? The opening of it says this. It's not an angelic suffering. It is people who have suffered on this earth, and they're crying out to God and say, God, when are you going to do something? Man, there's all kinds of speculation. What do they mean? Or they just want revenge? I don't think so. It says, it calls to God who is holy and true. They understand if God is just, he must punish sin. He said, when are you going to do this? These people have been killed. We've been killed because we trust the word. When are you going to do what's supposed to be done? That's what I think he's talking about. And some of these people get hung up and say, well, that can't be Christian because, you know, they're saying we want vengeance. Nope. If you look at the whole thing, that is not what they're talking about. They're saying, God, we know you're just. They just called him holy and true. And if God is holy and God is just, he must punish sin. And that's what they're talking about. And he says, no, just hold on. You're in a blessed place. You've already been killed, but you're all right. Just hold on because it's coming. But some more people have to die. You know, there are more people, the stats show us, if you know the right people to talk to and look to. In the 20th century, we're in the 21st century now, right? Isn't that right? Yeah. In the 20th century, more people have been killed in the 20th century for Jesus than all 19 prior put together. And more evangelism has been done in the same kind of framework. So when revival comes, does that mean everything okay? Nope. Still a lot of people get killed. That's exactly what he's saying to them. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of this thing. You ought to just be glad that you're in a heavenly place, that you got a heavenly reward. It describes the souls of those who were standing under the altar. You know, the altar was a sacred thing, and here we're talking about God's presence. We don't know if it's an altar of sacrifice, altar of incense. It's really irrelevant as to which one it is. They're in the throne room of God, under the altar, in a special place, and they're being protected because of that. That's exactly what it is. And Paul is writing to remind, John is writing to remind us, throughout history, there's always been a deep commitment of the devil and the lost people on earth to persecute Christians. We're seeing it more now in the last 10 years in America than I've ever seen in my life. You know? Just in the last 10 years. But down through history, anybody with power, they're going to squash us. That's their intention. That's the devil's intention. That's exactly what he wants to do. That's exactly what happens. That's exactly what he's talking about. So they're crying, Lord, how long? He said, well, some more people got to die first. Oh, I'm willing to die? Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? Somebody that never gives a dime to the church, to Jesus. Oh, if I ever get $1 million, I'm going to tithe. Yeah. You won't give a dime out of a dollar, but you're going to give 100,000? You're not committed to Jesus now, but when the times get hard, you're going to be committed. No, you're not. It's just like games. The way you play is how you practice. You get out there goofing around practicing. When you get out there to play, what are you going to do? You'll be goofing around. That's exactly the way that works. That's exactly what he's talking about. He said, hold on. Oh, I'm going to take care of it, but it ain't going to be on your time frame. But some more people have to die. Well, I'm not really fond of God letting me die. Why? Well, you'll be ahead of the game if you die right now. Get all this hell that we're in right now with all the crazy people in the world. And some of them are our families. Aren't they? Hello. You start, okay, I won't get off on that one. It doesn't really make us clear exactly how much they know, but they know enough to know that they were persecuted and killed, and some of their loved ones on the earth, they're going through it. But it doesn't really tell us how much somebody else knows up there. We don't know that. That's really not a big deal. That's not exactly it. But the thing is this, he doesn't tell them, cheer up, it's all going to change quick. He said, no, it's going down. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. What does that mean? It just means we're getting closer to the end time. There'll be points of revival in different places where something big happens, but there'll be a lot of people still getting killed. That's just the way it goes, both ends. It's just part of life. That's part of the way it's going to be. He said, that's exactly where it's going to be. So their prayer is, God, we know you're just, and we know sin has to be punished. You need to take care of this. And don't you feel that way? Especially if, according to your personality, everybody ought to obey the rules, right? They don't. And I want to be scriptural and grab them right here. I don't care what kind of rule they're breaking. Some rules are good for us. Not all of them, but some of them are. And that's exactly what we need to. That's what he's talking about. The martyrs. They're given a white robe. Man, everybody and their brother has written on this. This is what it means. Again, this is going to come up again in a few chapters. So don't try to say, well, absolutely, this is what it means, because it doesn't mean the same thing over there. So you got to integrate the two and try to figure out, okay, what does that mean exactly here? It just basically means they're purified, they're right, because they didn't live for the world. They live for Jesus, and he blessed them for it. That's what it means. Same thing going on now. You living for Jesus, or you living for the world? There's only two. Either you're living for Jesus, or you're living for the world. You can't do both of those, and that's exactly all this means. They're white in their purity. They stayed with it. They persevered. They didn't give in and follow the world, and he blessed them. That's what it's going to come down at the end. You know, in the end, you know, well, we'll hurry, because I realize we didn't get near as far in the first service as we should have. So all this is going to be, Danny, I put it up there, a lot of notes, and you only get a fraction of them, okay? I can send you hundreds of pages that I've compiled trying to figure some of this out, but you don't want that. You'd rather me synthesize it for you, right? Hello? Oh, yeah, I know. That's what I'm trying to do. And again, John is talking about what? All kind of people who've been killed and will be killed. So this end times thing is not John just looking ahead and saying, oh, yeah, all this is going to happen. It's happening to some people in the day that John is writing this. These people have already been killed. And some more are going to be killed until Constantine comes and finally alleviates a little bit some of the Christian persecution, which is the worst thing that ever happened to the church. When Constantine came in and said, oh, yeah, I'm saved, now let's baptize everybody, and all the pagans went in the church. You know, that's exactly what happened when you look at it. That's exactly what happened. They had an immediate bearing on some of these people. Yes, some were being killed. Some of the people they knew were about to be killed. It's not just end time stuff. We're living in it, okay? If you don't see that, boy, where is your head? It's in the sand somewhere. There is nothing out here right now that is not tribulation for a bona fide believer who's trying to live for Jesus. Anybody agree with that? Children in school, where you work in a pagan society, our government, oh, Lord, don't let me get started there. Oh, they're believers, yeah, but they want to kill babies? No, that doesn't go together. None of those things go together. I mean, that's just the way that works. They were killed because they were committed to Jesus. The next one is this, the sixth seal, verse 19. Man, you're talking about a time. A lot is about to happen. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. A great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. There was goats at that point. We already saw that in some of the churches of Revelation, where there was a long-haired black goat whose hair was used, and it was a great shade for the sun, but it would let the air through. So it was a common thing. They know exactly what it was. It was a covering. It darkened things. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth as late figs fall from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll. There are going to be severe disorders on the earth. That's what it's coming to. You know, people always ask, when tsunami comes or earthquake, well, why would God let that happen? You do understand, when sin entered the world, everything was affected. Everything. The earth, everything was affected. It's just the way, it's gravity. You know, gravity, you know, if you say, well, I don't believe in gravity, jump off the top of the building. It's there. That's one of those laws that God put in place. A messed up world, you have messed up things. But these are the things that God sends, which are catastrophes. Why? There are several reasons for that. Let's hurry. Those who are left in the great tribulation are those who, we don't need anything to do with Jesus. My goodness, we don't need him. We're on man. We're on woman. We're on people. They want nothing to do with him. So what happens? All kind of earthly disasters come. Why? Because when people worship the world has to be obliterated. It tears away all the idolatrous things that the world serves as their God. It was in the Old Testament, still now. People worship people. They worship concept. They worship money. They worship all kind of things that are made by the world. So he says, if we're going to straighten this mess out and we're going to destroy it, everything's destroyed. That's what it means. It has to be done. The last asteroid, if my history is right, if I didn't miss something, was in 1908 when one in Siberia destroyed 700 square miles. You know how big that is? Hello? Why? It's not hard to imagine God allowing a catastrophe to destroy. Actually, one place it says a quarter of the Earth population was done away with. How quick? Boom. Just like that. You know, how many H-bombs? How many of those does it take? You know? You don't have to go out there far to realize, oh, yeah, this could happen easily. Time magazine in 1989 posed this question. Any of y'all remember where you were the 23rd of March, 1989? Anybody? They asked this question, where were you? And then they go and say, did you know how close you were to being destroyed on the earth if you were in Los Angeles or somewhere? And what happened was a meteorite had fallen, and it was so close to us you didn't realize it, but had it come any closer, all the devastation would be like 1,000 H-bombs exploding. When God takes the handles off, man, you said, you're trying to scare me? I wish I could. Some of you are not scared of anything because you're your own God. You don't worry about God. You don't fear God. Oh, well, I'm my own person. I can make my own decisions, and look what kind of mess you're in. Hello? Who made that mess? You did. Or some of your crazy ancestors. Or some of your crazy family. All of us have crazy family, don't we? Yes, we do. Why is that? And that's exactly what happened. It's not, you don't have to stretch out there far to realize, oh yeah, this could happen real, real easy. When God said, I'm going to just take my hand off of this thing and let it go. That's exactly what's going to happen. When all that happens, we come back to that verse. There's going to be a colossal prayer meeting. What does it say in those verses? And they cried out to the rocks and the mountains, destroy us. We'd rather be destroyed than have to face God. Whoa. You know you're going to have to face God one day? You better get ready. Well, I'm going to take my chances. You don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. Well, I got a 50-50 chance. Well, I don't even believe in God. You got a 50-50 chance. Think of the results of either one of those. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and the rocks, and the mountains. They go underground. And they say, they cry out. They're praying. Fall on us. Destroy us. Because we don't want to face God. And what? Or the Lamb. Oh, Jesus loves everybody. Every day's a Friday. He's not going to do anything. It says here the Lamb's going to get you. Anytime you see the Lamb in this context, watch out. Oh, but he loves everybody. We don't talk about this in America. Because God is love. And that's too negative. We don't realize that God is going to judge everybody. That's the one thing that should come out of all this. You need to be ready because eventually this is going to happen. And whether you're alive when it happens or not, you still get to stand before God. And he still is going to judge you based upon what you did with Jesus, his son. Man, I'm just hoping we miss it. I'd rather not go through the tribulation of any kind. I've been through enough of that. Oh, you ain't been through tribulation? I can tell you all kinds of stories. And that's exactly what it is. When people persecute you because of Jesus, that's tribulation. We're in it. You know, some of you don't want to live for Jesus because you don't want to go through that. Watch out. Why? A cosmic disturbance, that's being minimal as to how you would describe that. Tsunamis, earthquakes, we don't know what that is. We haven't had much of that over here. You know, it's kind of hard for the water to reach us, right? Unless the dam breaks. Where's the closest dam? Well, we don't need to get in all that, do we? All that comes out of the Old Testament. Oh, when God comes, everything's going to be glorious and no judgment is coming. Throughout the Old Testament, when God comes, there's judgment. Why? Because God's going to come to a time and he said, yep, enough is enough. It's going to be done. How he unfolds it all through the book of Revelation. Same thing. Whenever God came at Sinai, he came in thunders and lightnings and earthquakes. And the people said, what? Oh, no, we're scared of this. We don't want this. Moses, you mediate for us. So you see that. That's exactly what happens. Oh, yeah, God is a God of judgment. That's exactly what he does there. Unless we're ready to meet this God, it's not just a revival. It's a terrifying time. That's exactly what the verse says, isn't it? How bad it is to fall in the hands of an angry God. You know, Edwards preached on it, but that's a verse of Scripture as well. There have been times and times again when devastation comes, like 9/11, people run to the church. They don't stay there very long because they kind of get over it. Remember that? Remember how the churches filled up after 9/11? A lot of people started going to church, and it went along. They weren't there anymore. So that comes a little bit. But a lot of times when devastation comes, people just turn further away from God. Both and. Same thing. That's the way it goes. They said, hide us from God. Whatever you want to do to us, but we don't want to face him. You can't hide. All kind of things. We just don't like to talk about that. You don't hear that. You don't hear that in churches in America. People don't talk about that kind of stuff. Oh, it's just so scary. It's a reality, though. You need to be ready. That's the main thing. You need to be ready. Let's hurry on down to the next one because we are ready. You think that's bad. You wait till we get to Revelation 14. Boy, what a description of what's going to happen. The earth dwellers appeal desperately to the mountains. Do something. We just don't want to face God. Whatever we can do to escape that, we just don't want to face God, and there's nowhere to go. You know, that's what they used to tell us. Don't start out preaching screaming, because if you do, there's nowhere to go. You know? Start out where you can maybe build up a little bit. You know, a lot of preachers, they start out screaming. You raise around any of those? Fast as they could, loud as they could, just scream. They give out of breath. They can't talk tomorrow. Why? Because they screamed all their air out. That's what it means. There is nowhere to go. You're going to face God one day. I'm going to face God. That's exactly what's going on. Let's go on down quickly. Remember what Romans said? They did what? They worshiped creation instead of the Creator. That's why God says, I'll have to destroy all the creation. Why? Because that's part of what they're worshiping. So I have to do away with all that to be just. So that's what happens. It's just a result of what he's already promised. All these things are idols. People worship trees. People worship the sun. People worship all kind of stuff. He said, I'll just do away with all of it, and you won't have anything. You'll have to face it then. And that's what it is about. That's what he talks about. What is this other one? Where is it? Somewhere it's coming in here. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people think, and the last verse in Revelation, we'll get to it one of these days. A lot of people think when God comes down and everybody sees it that are alive on earth, they're going to turn to him and then repent. He said, no, they're not. They're going to go to hell and damnation cursing God. They're not going to repent. Just like you. Some of you out there, when you're faced with Jesus, you don't turn to him. You just turn away from him. And Revelation says, oh, however they die, that's where they're going to be. They're going to still in hell be cursed and damning God because of their situation. That's what Revelation says. That's what it is. Now, here's the next one. Boy, this is one disputed. Where is that? This is coming up again, too. That's why I'm just going to introduce us to it, because who are those 144,000? If you're a Jehovah's Witness, who are they? The Jehovah's Witness that are saved until they got more than 144,000. Now, I don't know what they're doing. How do what do you call it when you're fixing something? You add it to the Constitution, you what? Amend it. I don't know how they amended it. I don't care because they were wrong to start with. But still, the 144,000. What in the world? It says in verse 14. I'm jumping down, okay? And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel. Okay? Why does he seal them, number one? What does that do? Is there a reason for that? And then who they are, How does that work? Again, this will come back up later on in the chapters, so be careful not to draw a lot of conclusions here, because you're going to have to integrate those two, because it's going to come back up. So if you say, oh yeah, they got to be this group, then when you come over here, you're going to say, wait a minute, I'm not sure that's the way that's going to work. All right? So they will come back up. But what is that? Here are alternatives, the main views. I hit the high spots. Everybody and brother has three views about what this is, okay? Everybody can't be right. Some of them say it's just for physical protection. Not sure that's what it is. Some say it's protection from demonic forces that are unleashed on the earth. Some say that it's protection from losing their faith, that they won't turn away, that they'll remain faithful. Ezekiel 9, and there's a pretty in-depth thing at the end of our study that you'll have on paper that I can only just hit the high spot. You go to Ezekiel 9, and you might have a picture to help you understand what is going on here in Revelation, okay? Ezekiel 9, this is what it is. What he does is God commands an angel to come and put a mark on all the believers, and it's kind of funny. He starts at the temple. What does that mean? He starts with the so-called believers. He says, come, angel, and bring your ink pad. You know, they didn't have a scan tool, and they didn't have all they had was an ink pad, a writing pen. He said, you got to have a mark. You got to make a mark. So he says, he comes to him, and he says, put a mark on all the believers, but instruct the angels to kill the ones who do not have a mark. Whoa, what? Does that sound like Revelation? Yes. Daniel chapter 12 talks about the same kind of stuff. You see things happening in Revelation that Daniel talked about as future things that were going to happen. The mark on the believer is to protect them from the wrath that is coming through Babylon and through the other pagan nations who are going to come, that they're going to kill the Israelites. He said, the ones you put a mark on, the righteous ones who do not agree with the rest of the nation of Israel, yet they're in the mix of it and they stand against it, yet they can't change it. You protect them and the rest of the Israelites kill them. That's exactly what happens. It's the same thing that's happening in Revelation. The ones who are born again that are trusting Christ make it, and the ones who don't, don't. Whether you're one of those believers now or not. To be a believer is committing your life to Christ, and that is your life. It's not just some prayer you mumbled. It's not just some baptism you went through. It is governed what you say, where you go. Do you cheat people? Are you honest? How you treat your spouse. Oh, well, that's exactly what it is. These people were so defined. That's why when you stand up for Jesus, the rest of the world is not going to like you. Peter said that, right? Those who live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Will suffer persecution. We're in it. It's in it. It's a sad commentary if we're never persecuted. That means we're not living anything like Jesus would expect us to live, or someone would be saying something against us. Now, we don't live for that just because we want to. Let's see who I can make mad today. I don't get up in the morning and do that, but I'm sure I do. Why? Just because you tell the truth. You try to live out the truth. When you live out the truth, it's a condemnation to those who are not. So instead of changing, if they don't change, they're going to try to get rid of you. That's the way it works. And if the only way they get rid of you is quit hanging around you, they'll do that. If they can put you out of business any way, they'll do that. That's just the way it goes. Ezekiel 9, and that's exactly what it means. It speaks of the physical protection of the righteous and destroying the wicked. That's exactly what's going on in Revelation. You don't need to wait. You need to make sure you're right with Jesus according to what the Scripture says. Not according to some dream you had or Joel Osteen or Lord knows whoever's out there said, oh, he just loves us all. You don't have to worry about anything. Yes, you do need to worry about your life. You do. And God holds you accountable. You. Me. I can't save my wife. I can't save anybody. The only one I can apply Jesus' blood to is Terry. By faith, I apply his blood to me. And then he looks at me and he doesn't see a sinner anymore. He sees someone forgiven. That's exactly what it is. It's confirmed by the same function of the mark of blood in Hebrews. Remember? Passover? Oh, when the judgment angel comes, make sure the blood is over there on top and on the side. So when judgment comes, you're protected. Same thing. You say, why has it got to be that way? Well, maybe we'll understand some of it as we go through. Remember, he has to speak in terminology that will cover thousands of years. Okay? If he was only speaking in John's day, he would probably use more words that we would never grasp. He couldn't just speak to us because what? It would be like, what was that movie where the car goes in time? Back to the Future. It'd be like that. A car shows up in the horse and buggy days? What? What are y'all, aliens or something? You see what God's doing? He has to do it timelessly. So it's got to be symbolic with some indication of understanding, just like Ezekiel. It helps us. Daniel, it helps us. Following the harmful effects of blowing the trumpet. Man, those start starting to unfold. He just said, I'm going to take some of it off at a time. These things are going to come. Spiritual protection of the Israelite faithful may also be included in these two texts. And that's exactly what it was. He protected those in the ones, the other ones. They got killed. Not just physical security. It's not what it's a spiritual thing as well. You can get killed for Jesus and still be spiritually okay. I mean, it doesn't mean you lose that. That's not what it is. They're inflicted on them, whether by Satan or by his, man, all the things come, when you go to reading Revelation, all the things that the devil is allowed to do to the people on the earth. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Because the same mark that God tells him, the angels to put on the believers, who copies it? Devil. If you don't put his mark on you, then you can't buy or sell. So that's the way it goes. Either you're marked with Jesus now, or you're marked with the devil now. You either suffer the consequences if you're marked for Jesus, or you suffer the consequences if you're marked for the devil. I shouldn't say the consequences. You have the consequences positive for the mark of Jesus, the consequences negative of the mark, but both have marks. And what he does? How many have been trying to figure out, what is that 666? Well, it's supposed to be on our head. It's symbolic. Oh, it's that chip they're going to put in your arm. I don't think so. I don't know that. It's symbolic. But there is going to be some way of defining. The question is, where are you right this minute? Are you serving Jesus or are you serving the devil? When are you going to change it? You better change it. Because number one, you don't know when you're going to die. Right? Hello? Don't know. I might be dead before the sun goes down. I don't know. I have no idea. Nobody in this room knows when you're going to die, do you? But you're going to. This is morbid. It's reality. It's reality. You don't put gas in a car, you're going to give out. Hello? And then you got to call somebody. We used to didn't have anybody to call. You had to walk. Why? There were no cell phones. Well, I won't get into that one. The sealing of the saints explains further how Christ will keep them from the hour of testing. You're not going to be able to stand in those days without committing to Jesus. If you happen to be one of those alive during that time, without Jesus' help, you're done. Just like now. Without Jesus, you are done. I'm done without Jesus. Do you see that? That's the main thing all of Revelation is about. You need to make sure you're right with God through the blood of Jesus. Whether you go through the tribulation or not. Because you're going to have enough of it here. Anybody here never had any? Never had any tribulation whatsoever. You got a perfect life? Hello? Anybody? What's wrong with y'all? You're just sinning. Ain't that it? Well, if you wasn't sinning, you'd have a pink Cadillac. No, that don't work either. We're in it, y'all. Are we geared for it? We need one another. If we're going to make it, absolutely we need Jesus. Because cheer up, it ain't going to get better. That's what he said. But here's what you need to remember. God is in control. Now and through all of the revelation, God is in control. We have to remember that. He is. We might not understand that we might die. Some of our loved ones might be persecuted, but he said, oh, just hold on. Some of that's going to happen, but I'm in control. When the time is right, I'm going to fix it. Aren't you glad? Well, I'm glad we can depend on him and not me. He's in control. Don't you forget that. The devil wants you to do that. He wants you to think when catastrophe comes. Did any of y'all talk to Danny and good night. What's Danny's wife's name? Deborah, this morning, all the calamity that's happened to them this week. because a limb from the neighbor's yard fell on an electricity line and took out the neutral about everything in their house has died. Lost all kind of meat in the freezer, all kind of bad things. But he says, hey, God's got it. Yeah, that's right. You got to see that or you'll get depressed. You know, God is in control. Don't you forget that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You give us a little idea of what things may come to as we continue to study. Father, help us know what we need to know. Father, help us, number one, settle our relationship with you and know full well that you're in control and you will take care of us if we'll trust you. Thank you that we can. Thank you that you are sufficient. Thank you that you will always do exactly what's right. In Jesus' name, amen.